Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
An Erio's original.
There's a preventative measure to this podcast as well. Mm-hmm. If you're an Asian and have a younger sibling and you right. want them to kill your boyfriend, don't do it. Don't do it.
Welcome to The Margaret Show, where we talk to people you know and people you should know. It's Mortal Minority Month, and today we're talking with Alec Mappa about the Suhs, Carolyn Suh and Andrew Suh. I can't believe that you haven't been over here at some point.
But I never leave the house.
Well, I mean, I always see you, like, if I see you, it's usually in the West Hollywoods.
Mm-hmm. And it's usually something industry-related.
Comedy-wise,
we're performing for a benefit
right.
of some kind, or something. I'm giving you an award.
Yes.
There was a time at, like, the early, late 90s, like 99 or 2000, where I was, like, giving you an award at something, like, every year.
Every year.
Like, every 6 months. Yeah.
I love.
Uh-huh.
And
Who doesn't love it?
And I love your comedy.
Thank you.
And I, even though we are about the same age, yeah. when I look at you,
I'm older.
I think of you as like my child. Like you're sort of like, you're sort of the generation younger than me in comedy mm-hmm. because
oh yeah
for some reason no. I think I probably started before you.
Mm-hmm. You started before me, and I never really pursued it in interest mm-hmm. because I didn't have the passion that you did. Like, this is who I am and this is what I want to do.
Right.
I was always an actor first,
right?
And then comedy became my way of like, okay, how can I keep the party going in between jobs?
Right.
Yeah. And then I worked nonstop when I started out in New York, and then I came to LA and I didn't work for 3 years
mm-hmm.
because they didn't know what to do with me.
Right.
And I really thought that I was on the career trajectory of everybody else. That
yes.
you come to LA with a big Broadway show and
of
then you get a television series, and it didn't work out that way.
What show did you come here with?
A Butterfly.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I did the national tour.
Oh my
tour.
God, yeah. that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, gosh.
I had just studied BD on Broadway, and then okay. I came out here. And then,
that's where,
and then I
yeah.
never worked. And then I was like, fuck, what am I going to do? And so I doing my solo shows and my stand-up. But that was always, it was always a means to an end. It was never like... You know.
It's so funny because now I can't see you as Puyi.
Hmm.
You know, it's funny because it's like I think of you so much as a comedian.
Right, right.
That I could never associate you with, because Puyi's character is so...
Puyi, meet Sung Li Ling, the M. Butterfly
yes,
character? Yeah, yeah.
It's so quiet
mm-hmm.
and demure, but it's quiet power.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it's also...
It's Asian women power.
It's Asian women power.
Like, I'm Filipino, so our version of that is, we used to say, you have to geisha things up. You have to...
Yeah.
If you want a man to do something for you, you have to make it seem like it's his idea.
Right.
And there's so many times in my life that I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I did start out as like a classically trained actor. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I really took myself seriously. And,
where did you go to school?
NYU.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in class with Molly Shannon and Adam Sandler
mm-hmm.
and Kristen Johnston, that whole tribe
oh, yeah,
of
yeah.
like, we were all misfit toys. I mean, nobody knew what to do with us.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you got in the show and you were acting on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
What other shows did you do there?
I was on a soap called Another World.
Oh, I love it.
Did you learn
a lot of lines every day?
I learned a lot of lines every day. And I was my very first television job. I didn't know that it was somebody's job to come get me. I was in the theater, so I was like on the fourth floor dressing room,
mm-hmm.
and I kept on going down to the stage every 5 minutes going, I'm up there. And they would like, finally, after the fourth time, they were like, we will come get you. And then on my very first day on the job, they did the camera block, And they said, I said, when did we rehearse? They goes, that was the rehearsal. And I was like, woo!
And then you just went on. And then, so do they use a teleprompter ever?
No.
No, you just learn the lines.
No, you just learn the lines.
And you just do it fast.
And you run it with people. You know, I've learned, like, as I've done soap since then. Mm-hmm. And it's like you're running lines with people right before you shoot, like over and over and over again.
That's
and
great.
People hide scripts all around the
But it's kind of like a multicam. So it's sort of like you're on camera all the time. It's not like they cut in between.
No. People in soaps work really, really hard.
It's incredible. Yeah. I mean, yeah, when I see that, like, that's definitely, I mean, another level of, like, showbiz, like, where it's really intense.
Mm-hmm.
That and, like, QVC, I have a lot of respect for.
Do you have product? Do you have merch?
I don't have any merch, but on QVC, they're on all the time.
All the time.
And it's like they just have to keep on
the level
content.
Of energy and being on.
Incredible.
And what's required of you and to keep the viewer engaged.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
amazing.
Why Joan was so good at
so
it.
So good.
Because her energy never lagged.
No. And it was just like she was constantly engaged with people and they were talking on the phone. And
you could sell stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You could goop it up. You could sell like crystals and stuff. And,
I would do, I would stay on brand and probably do like a QVC like sex toy range.
Ooh.
That would be great.
Do they have sex toys on QVC?
No, but they should.
They
and
should.
That would be a great, like, a late night thing where you could turn on, like, and I could talk to
QVC After Dark with Margaret Cho.
After Dark, and then we could talk about lube, and we could talk about different sex
that
toys.
That would be very on brand.
Yeah,
yeah. I just hosted the Gay Porn Awards in Vegas.
Oh yeah,
2 weekends ago.
Wow,
so much fun.
I mean,
talk about people
it.
Who branded and, like, you know, there's so much merch associated with the actors.
There's a lot of animosity towards which porn star is it? Michael Lucas?
What
is that?
I don't know. Michael's like his own island. He's like, he came to this country with this is the story he told me, or this is a story I've heard. I mean, they're kind of merging. It's becoming apocryphal at this point. Michael came to America with no money, hooked up with this guy who did have money and started this whole empire. Have you ever met him?
Yeah. I met him. I did the Gay Porn Awards in like 2011.
He's like Count Dracula. Like I met him on a gay cruise and I was the only person who wasn't like, I didn't want anything from him because I have no horse in that race. There's like nothing. So he was very charmed by the fact that I was a gay guy who didn't want anything. And he goes, come to see me in New York. Come to my apartment. And And so I went to his apartment in New York. He had this like townhouse in Chelsea and it was so cool, and we've kind of kept in touch. I don't know why people hate him. I think I'd know more if I were a porn star, if I was doing adult film.
When I was there, when I was at the Gay Porn Awards, people booed him. And that was like a weirdest thing.
Oh, remember, I remember he was booed at one thing where they gave an award to Best Newcomer or something, and he was like, you want to teach younger men safe sex, and you gave the newcomer an award for doing a bareback film. This was a while back. I think before prep.
Yeah.
It was pre-prep. That's how old I am. And I think the audience booed them for that because it was like a finger wag at the industry or something.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So
I ragged on them for not having any Asian nominees.
Yeah, that's
ever.
Weird.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah, so I acted out some porn scenarios with with the porn stars on stage.
Who are the Asian porn stars? With Asa, Kira, Tara Patrick, the most famous.
Tara Patrick.
She's the most famous
Asian porn star?
And Asian porn star. Is Asia Carrera.
Wow.
Also very famous. And Kobe Tai.
Wow.
Who is very famous. I don't know any of the men.
See?
Who are the guys?
Like, who are the guys?
They're
part of the porn search.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't really know very many male porn stars in general.
Like, I do.
Yep.
The gay ones. Yeah.
All I know is Joey Stefano, but he died.
He died. A lot of them die. Like, there's an in memoriam at the top of the show on all the porn award show. And every year it's like, oh, bunch of methy guys passed away last year.
Yeah, that's too bad.
That's really too bad.
It is really sad. But it is a fun thing. I like the AVNs, too, in January where they do the big porn awards and then everybody goes.
The girls
so
kind of scare me a little bit.
Well, it is. It's all kind of scary, too.
Yeah. I mean, there is kind of like a chilly whiff of something. You know, who's that? There was a porn star who said, not every woman with a fucked up childhood becomes a porn star, but every porn star who's a woman had a fucked up childhood.
Right.
And I met this one girl porn star last year, and she talked in that baby voice, you know, kind of like this. And I, you know, one time we finally had a moment alone backstage, and I was like, you don't have to do that with you know, why are you?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I keep forgetting, you know, this is how I get what I need. Aww. And then I saw her again this year, and she's now in a relationship, and she's transitioning out of the business into merch.
That's
and
good.
More things like that. And she wasn't talking like that anymore.
Oh, that's good.
It was kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I have a lot of respect for the women who are in porn, and then they decide to produce and, you know,
me too, have because merch, that's the only way you'll have money.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a really great thing. You know, I think it's really enterprising, and it's inspiring to see.
Yeah. Like T.S. Madison. Mm-hmm. Have you met her?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
mm-mm.
She's amazing. She was like a trans sex worker. And
I know her. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's great.
Like, how do I get out of here? How do I get off the street? And
it's
she
great.
Launched one of the first online platforms for trans porn starring
That's
her.
That's good. That's
she
good.
She was known as BigDickBitch.com.
Yeah, yeah.
And she built this internet empire.
That's
now,
wonderful.
Yeah.
That's
has
what,
this
that's,
huge house in Atlanta.
It's so good. Yeah. It's so good. Well, now, the case that I picked for you, oh, this is a Mortal Minorities episode where I speak to my Asian American friends about...
Who've murdered people.
The killers. Mm-hmm. It's about Asian Americans and crime. And sometimes they're not Asian Americans. Sometimes they're just Asians. But it's called Mortal Minorities. And we talk about the mortal minority or the model minority as a mortal minority.
Okay.
So this case I thought was interesting because it is The House of the Suh. And this is a documentary that I... watch
S-U-H.
S-U-H.
Yeah, we all went to school with a suh.
With a suh, yeah. Which is a very, it's a very Korean, suh. Korean. It's very suh.
I went to name. School with a lot of suhs and a lot of suhus in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Judy Suhu.
Oh, that, yeah. That I think I know Judy Suhu. So the suhs, this happened in 1993 mm-hmm. in Chicago. Lots of Koreans in Chicago.
Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah. There's okay. They always have like a bunch of restaurants. I always know.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of
Yeah, Korean
that's
how I found Koreatown in Manhattan. It's mm-hmm. that, what's that, 32nd Street?
32nd,
yeah.
Between 32nd, 33rd
that's where
and
I get my
like
Korean fried
around
chicken.
5th.
Love it.
Oh, Kyochon.
Yeah, so
it's
good.
So good.
So good.
Okay. In Chicago. So the Suh family, they moved from South Korea to Chicago in 1976, and it was a brother and a sister. The brother's Andrew, and the sister's name is Suh. The sister's name is Catherine Suh. So Andrew Suh and Catherine Suh. And so the father died in 1985, and then the mother died. She was murdered 2 years later, but the case was unsolved.
Oh, dear.
Do you have any things like that in your family?
Murders?
Where somebody got murdered or
yeah, well,
or
my
community?
Parents grew up during the war, so mm-hmm. my
oh,
grandfather
yes.
was a judge who was a very strict judge. And when the Japanese, you know, liberated the Philippines from the U.S., they mm-hmm. all the prisoners were set free. And one of them that was set free was one my grandfather had put away and murdered my grandfather.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Murder.
How? What happened?
He sent his family to Manila because they were on an outlying island called Iloilo.
Uh-huh.
And while he was in Manila, this is like when it gets really ghosty and spooky. My dad says my grandma was at the dinner table laughing with everybody and they were all laughing. And all of a sudden she slammed her hands down on the table and started crying because she knew something was wrong. He had been dragged from his house in the middle of the night and tied to a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And the people sliced him open. And left him there to bleed. And they told all the people in the town, if you come liberate him at all, if you help him at all, we will kill you.
Oh, that's terrible.
Horrible. Horrible. So that was like so much a part of like me growing up, like that horrible, awful story.
Yeah.
And then kind of we went to the Philippines as older kids and saw the town and saw that it was real and mm-hmm. knew the people knew who Judge Mapa was. And
right.
It was like, yeah, there's streets named after him. It's really bizarre.
Wow.
Yeah. So murder.
But
one generation away.
Yeah, the darkness of that. Usually, like, because all of our families, like, grew up with war, but they don't talk about it at all.
Yeah.
They just act like it didn't happen because...
That's kind of very Asian.
Yeah.
Very stoic
way. Too traumatic.
Yeah, they didn't dwell on it. But, you know, looking back on it now as an adult, as somebody my age, I grew up with... I was raised by people who are very traumatized.
Yeah, that is traumatic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really violent. Yeah.
You know, they say that the trauma is passed... through you,
I agree,
or
yeah.
whatever chemicals that are going through your brain are passed through you, all of my siblings and I are all chemically depressed. We all have like stuff to deal with and anxiety issues
right.
and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, I have a lot of depression in my family. Mm-hmm. We're sort of like the quiet sufferers where every couple of years somebody will jump out a window.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, but they never get pick a high enough floor, so they always just break a leg.
Yeah. They're so just kind of half-heartedly.
They're kind of scared.
They just kind of want the suffering to end to a certain degree, right, but don't want to end it completely.
Right.
Yeah, no, with me, it was kind of like there was a certain amount of despair that I was used to growing up and in my 20s and my 30s, even up to my 40s, that I was like, there's going to be one portion of the year where I'm going to be irretrievably sad. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
What can I do about this? And now I'm on meds and I have a floor to my despair. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, it's good to find those solutions. Mm-hmm. Well,
the mother was murdered.
The mother was murdered in the Suh family. After their mother's murder, Catherine, who was a little bit older than the brother, mm-hmm. She became his guardian. And he was 13, she was 18. And she was dating a man named Robert O. Dubain, who moved into their family home.
Talk about a soap opera name. Yeah, Robert O. Dubain.
So Catherine and O. Dubain blew through the insurance money.
Okay.
Buying a nightclub and fancy cars.
That doesn't seem shady at all.
Yeah. But the whole time, the son, her brother, was a good student. He was getting good grades, and he was elected student body president. Mm.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And in the summer of 1993, while Andrew was away in college, Catherine started telling him that O. Dubain was slapping her around.
Oh.
And she needed to get rid of him.
Okay.
And then Catherine told Andrew that O. Dubain was the man who murdered the mother.
Okay.
And he was unemployed, in debt, and she was coerced into kind of accepting the fact that he was going to kill her,
okay,
because they could get the money. And so Andrew was very upset, and he viewed his sister as a victim, not
a perpetrator.
Not a perpetrator.
Okay.
So after Andrew returned from college, Catherine called him over and over and over, saying he had to kill O. Dubain for the sake of their family and for their dead mother.
Oh.
She just kept on it. And then finally, Andrew flew in from college on September 25th, 1993. Catherine dropped him off at their apartment where she was living with O. Dubain, where there was a paper bag with a gun inside and a one-way ticket back to college, and with the instructions, do this for mom. So Andrew waited for O. Dubain in the garage and shot and killed him when he arrived. So Andrew and Catherine were both arrested within 6 weeks of the murder.
Uh-huh.
Catherine posted bail and apparently tried to reinvent herself. She moved to a posh side of town.
Uh-huh.
And became introduced herself under a new name.
Wait, there was no charges pressed against her at all? She didn't,
I guess,
or was she just an accessory to all of this?
I guess because she was just the accessory or something.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't know.
The legalese for that is that she just asked them to do it, but she didn't actually do it.
Right.
Okay.
But a few days before her trial, Catherine skipped town, setting off a media frenzy, which led to her appearance on America's Most Wanted.
Okay.
And in her 1995 trial, she was convicted in absentia, which turned out she had moved to Hawaii, which you should do if you're Asian American.
Yeah, and you want to blend in and disappear.
Just go to Hawaii.
You're going to go to Hawaii.
Just go to Hawaii.
They'll never find you.
And it's like, we'll just blend in.
Yeah.
And, you know, she changed her name to Tiffany Escada, which I buy.
Uh-huh.
I totally buy that.
Yeah, you could be a Tiffany Escada in Hawaii.
In Hawaii, of course.
Tiffany Escada, working at the Hertz rent-a-car at the airport. Yeah.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
So she turned herself into police in 1996 and began serving her life sentence. Andrew, meanwhile, was convicted of the murder. He was sentenced to 100 years, later reduced to 80. At his sentencing, the judge told Andrew, "I truly believe if you hadn't had a sister like Catherine Suh, you would not be here today."
Huh.
And Andrew's a model prisoner. He's still seeking clemency. He says he was brainwashed by his sister. And he and his sister are no longer on speaking terms. Well,
ooh.
I mean, the thing about it is, I think he was brainwashed too. Because if he's, you know,
when you said child. When you said that he finally like got a ticket home,
yeah,
it was like, okay,
yeah,
then that to me was like the red flag of like something's up. Mm-hmm. Like, where do you kind of just stop at being a rational person and go, no, I'm not gonna kill your boyfriend?
Yeah,
you know, we're siblings and everything, but there are limits to, like, you know,
right?
She got in his head,
she
somewhere.
Got in his head, but you know, like, the thing about it is, when I think with Asian American kids, like, there really is a kind of coercive control you have over your younger siblings.
True.
I think.
True.
You know?
I mean, that's certainly true in Filipino culture.
Right.
We're taught to respect our elders. I mean, it's all that culture is all about that. Like, you're supposed to call an older sister ate and an older brother kuya in deference when you're growing up. We never did that because we're in San Francisco. We're like, what?
Yeah.
But people, your older siblings do get in your head. Like, when I get together with my siblings in San Francisco, it's like we're all kids again.
Mm-hmm.
The pecking order is the same. The hierarchy is the same. And I'm like, I'm 55 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there is that hierarchy and you do believe what your siblings tell you.
Yes.
They kind of create your reality. They create your world
yes.
in a lot of ways. So this story was interesting to me also because...
And also, these are the set of siblings. They don't have anybody else but each other.
Right. It's just them. And also, you know, if the dad's dead and the mom's dead, it's just they have each other only.
Yes.
So there's a lot going on. He is hot. I've seen...
Is he?
I watched a video, a movie on this, and oh my God, he's so sexy.
Really?
Like, he's just really beautiful, strong, very like taekwondo face. You know when they have like a chiseled jaw?
I love that.
And he's like a shaved head.
Yeah.
And just like a beautiful...
Korean man with that jawline and
gorgeous.
Everything.
Gorgeous. Yeah,
just absolutely
just
beautiful.
A real oppa. Yeah. Like such a sexy oppa.
Nice.
And, you know, he's in prison. And the thing about this case was it was in the 90s. And I remember there was actually a movie about it. They made a TV movie about it.
Huh.
But they didn't have... They weren't Korean in the movie. And it was...
why not?
I don't know. But who played... It was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Not Sarah Michelle Gellar, but the movie...
Christy Swanson.
Yeah, it was Christy Swanson.
Playing a Korean lady.
Yeah.
Who brainwashes her brother.
Her brother. It was like Christy Swanson and like... Seth Green or something. I don't think it was Seth Green, but it was somebody like...
Something like that.
Something like that. So,
but it was the same story.
It was the same story, and it was basically this... And it was their story, but it was instead...
Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it, but I saw clips of it in the documentary.
It'd be interesting to see like how that was explained from that point of view.
Well,
like,
they just never... They just turned them white. They never explained anything. But I thought that was really terrible. Like, how great would that have been?
A great, really big missing piece from like... Remember when they had that whole movie about the kids who were doing the card counting?
Right, yeah.
In Vegas. They were originally Asian kids from MIT.
Right.
And they're all white in the movie.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so... It's an embarrassing whitewashing, which has happened so much and I think doesn't happen anymore because now people get called out on it.
It's easier to get called out on it.
Yeah.
Now.
Nowadays.
Yeah.
But back then, nobody cared.
Nobody cared.
But it was like, you know, this case to me is like, it's very sad because it's like, I have a younger brother and we do have influence over them. And
what's your influence over your younger brother?
He's an actor also. Mm-hmm. So that I think my being in show business gave him really sort of like the freedom inside in his heart that this was going to be an acceptable thing.
This is what's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that, I think help him in that way. And then I also helped him like when he was, I sent him to school in England to go like to have a theater degree and stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I've gotten to do for him, but it's definitely like an influential thing because you know, if you're older, like you have that sort of place in the family.
Sure.
You know, that responsibility.
Yeah.
But this whole thing is like, it's really sad to me. And it's also it's very Korean. It feels very Korean.
You think so?
I think so. Is there like a Filipino kind of a crime that you think of? Like to me, like boyfriend murder is very Korean.
Yeah. Well, Filipinos are so clannish, and it's really about filial love. I mean, it's really about your family. Your family comes first and everything. Mm-hmm. And that's part of been like a huge part of my therapy is kind of differentiating myself from my family.
Right.
Because you grow up in this, like this reality of who your family is and the culture of who your family is. And you don't question it.
Right.
And then when you're away from them as adults, I mean, you don't even have to be Asian to understand this. But you move away from your parents as adults and you create your own culture and you go, well, I don't want to be a part of that anymore.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Now, we're really good at guilting each other. Well, I mean, the thing when you said about getting in each other's heads.
Yeah.
Like, my dad is the master of that. Mm. Of, like, the, he's like the dad in Succession.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
He can say the worst cutting thing at the worst possible time. And kind of, like, Hannibal lecture you, kind of, like, get to the meat of things right away.
Right.
In a really kind of, like, that's how he controlled us as kids. And when he does it now, it's like, ugh.
You see that in, you know, Assassination of Gianni Versace with the father of Andrew Cunanan, the actor who plays him.
All right.
But their relationship is very much
that. I haven't
watched
the last episodes. Yeah.
It's, it's great because it does have that snapshot of the Filipino father.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I think is really, it's something that we don't see enough in television,
no.
But it's beautiful,
yeah.
But it is coercive it's very control.
It's very particular, that relationship, yeah. But it is about control.
It is like very much like his father sort of creates his world for him, mm-hmm. And then you can see how he's sort of gone along this path because of it.
Yeah.
But
I would say like everything I am and everything I'm not is because of my dad.
And how does that affect your fathering now?
Well, you know, it's so funny because like when you become a parent, you're operating out of your own deficits. I want to be the parent that my kid, that I never got.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I wanted to be the parent that my son could tell anything. You have two gay dads as parents. You can tell us everything. Mm-hmm. But now he's 15 years old and every 15-year-old doesn't want to talk about drugs or sex with their parents.
Right.
Nobody does. It's kind of like he's still a 15-year-old. He still thinks we're lame. So he's surrounded by peers and counselors and mentors he can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it's different. I found myself, I'm a different parent than my father was. I apologize when I'm wrong.
That's
Dad
good.
Never did that.
That's good.
I'm vulnerable mm-hmm. around my kid. I'm not showing him like I'm a perfect person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was my parents' generation. They kind of showed up as perfect people all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that's really important. Like when we can actually, that's what I was feared being a parent because I don't want to pass on my parents' parenting.
Right. Right.
You
right.
know?
It comes out in weird ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But your son is beautiful.
He is.
He's so beautiful.
Yeah, he is beautiful.
And he must be tall now.
He's tall. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's about 5'10 now.
That's
yeah.
so tall.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, I have a big black man living in my house.
It's so cute. It's so beautiful. And it's like, you know, I think that's a really, I mean, it's an amazing thing when you can have a child that's bigger than you. That's a very scary thought to me, too.
Right, yeah.
Like, that they would be taller and bigger mentally. Like,
and rebellious.
Rebellious.
And no, it's like such a weird age right now because.
It's a crazy time.
Yeah.
But it's like kind of like, do you think their brain is more developed because they had all of this technology growing up that we didn't have?
No. I think we grew up as a generation that got bored.
Right.
We got bored. And when you're bored, your imagination thrives.
That's true.
Then you become very resourceful. You find ways to entertain yourself. This is a generation that can be stimulated, has to be stimulated 24 hours a day. And has the means to do it, whether it's a YouTube video or a video game or a text mm-hmm. or a social media app. Their brains are stimulated from the time they get up. I mean, he doesn't have his phone at school,
right?
So he doesn't get his phone until 2 o'clock. But from 2 till the time he goes to sleep, he's either on the phone or he has his own television or the computer,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we try to give him like a couple of us gay dads took our kids out to Joshua Tree over the Christmas holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids were at the motel room in Palm Springs going, ugh, I want to go to Joshua. That sounds dumb. No, dads, we don't want to go. And then they went and it was the most beautiful day ever.
Aww.
And they were climbing on rocks and we were outside and it was the snow and it was so beautiful. And we were biting all our tongues going, because all we wanted to say was, I told you so. So you guys are lame. Yeah.
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 I love it.
But, you know, it's every generation's the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that we were the teens at one point going, ugh. You could never understand. I'm so young. You know, I invented music, sex, and fucking, you know, and fashion. You could never understand that. Now it's exactly the same thing.
It's true. It's true. Well, thank you so much for being part of this episode. Also, thanks to Tracy, who did all the research for me for this case. I also watched the documentary, but she's the real hero.
I'm going to Google this right after.
This is a really good. This Carolyn Sutt and Andrew. Carolyn and Andrew Sutt, the family of Sutt.
What prison is he in?
He
is it local? Can we visit?
I think he's in Chicago.
Oh, too far.
Yeah, that's too far.
Too far, too cold.
The documentary is called House of Sutt, which is out there. I watched it on Asian Crush, if you have that streamer, because they have a lot of Asian movies.
You're more Asian than me.
I'm pretty Asian.
Yeah.
I'm pretty
Asian.
You're
out there seeking these kind of things. I'm kind of like... watching wrestling.
That's good.
Folding laundry.
It's fine. But yeah, this case, I think Tracy pulled the research from online. There's probably some articles, maybe Wikipedia.
Okay.
I think there's probably Wikipedia about it. But this is an interesting case, and so great to discuss it with you.
It's good discussing it with you. I feel like there's a preventative measure to this podcast as well. If you're an Asian and have a younger sibling and you want them to kill your boyfriend, don't do it.
Just do it yourself.
Do it yourself.
If you want to kill somebody, you should do it.
Don't have your younger siblings.
Don't have
do
your
dirty work.
Siblings do it.
It's
for
not
you.
Like doing the dishes or walking the dog.
No,
it's murder.
It's murder.
Yeah,
you should do it yourself. And so, where can people find you on the socials when you're doing shows?
At Alec Mappa on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Alec.
Thank you.
It's taking over my dreams, waking me out of my sleep. I think I'm coming apart.
The Margaret Show is an Erios production with editing by Tracy Levy and original music by Garrison Starr. Never miss an episode of The Margaret Show. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
I don't know where to start. Coming out of the dark, coming out of the dark, coming out of the dark. Yeah, coming out of the dark.
Erios.
Powered by Acast.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.